Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. 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 Praise God. All right, are you ready for the Word? Well, get ready, get your Bibles out. And, you know, nowadays you have to say, well, get your phones out. You know, get your iPad, whatever you got the Bible on. And welcome another one of your pastors here, Pastor John Mitchell. Come on up, brother.
Amen. Well, good morning. If you would, turn your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis. I tell you, God is so awesome. I just thank God for little Matthew over there. I was watching him kick his little leg and jumping around there, you know, and I said, he's ready to go. Amen. We just thank God for this young man and what God is doing, you know, and thank God for you this morning. I want to talk to you this morning and share a word that God has placed in my heart. What have you done? Look at your neighbor and say, what have you done? Oh, what have you done? Oh, you don't want to respond to that, right? Well, obviously, oh no, don't. What have you done? Have you ever heard that before? And all the time, a lot of times, you say, I didn't do it. But she did it, okay? That was a question asked in the Bible. There were several questions asked in Genesis 3. And I think sometimes we only focus on the one. We say, well, you know, yeah, they ate of the fruit and they disobeyed God and sin came into the world. But you got to understand something. A lot of things took place, you know, when they partook of that fruit that Jesus, that God told them not to. And I want to read in Genesis 3, starting at the 5th verse. It says, for God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, this is a conversation going on with who? Eve and Satan. Okay? And they're conversating here. They're carrying on a conversation that God had already told them. He said, Now, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will what? Surely die. Now, whether you realize it or not, do you realize that there were two trees in the garden? There's a tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, a lot of times we say, well, if God intended for us not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, why would he put it there? But do you realize that God is so awesome and God is so just and righteous that he put the two there for the sake of you having free choice? And we're faced with it every day. You know, people say, well, if God was so loving, why are so many people going to hell? If God was so loving, why are so many people sick? If God intended to heal everybody, why are people sick? Why are people possessed? Why are these things going? Where is God in all this? And when we read this, God told them that when he created them, not to eat of this tree. But God didn't create us as robots. That he has a remote control that when John get ready to mess up, he say, nope, do right. And hit a button and then I do right. That's not the way God designed us. God designed us, first of all, in his own image and in his likeness. We were created. But he formed man out of the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living being. He had a soul, spirit, and body, a form that God created. But in that soul, what God did was, in the mind, will, and emotions, what he did, he had a will and that he could choose which way he wanted to go. You and I have that choice. See, what we have to understand is God has already did the work for us. He has already created the heavens. He's already created the earth. He's already made a way for us to live and have life more abundantly. But it's up to us to do the choosing. But what we have to understand is, even though it's up to us to do the choosing, God sent His Spirit to do what? To draw us back to Himself. But in Genesis, when we read this, what God had told them, He said, don't eat of this tree that's in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will die. Now, listen what the Word of God is saying here. I want to read this to you, and then you'll see why I posed that question to you from the beginning. So when the woman saw that the tree was what? Good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree, a tree desirable to make one wise. And she took of its fruit. Now what you got to understand here, they were already wise in the eyes of God. They were intelligent beings. They were created after God's likeness. You say, why would you say that? Look at the animals. When you see a giraffe, what do you think about?
Play-Doh.
I know where that came from. Who said that? Oh, okay, okay. I know where that came from. Okay, Play-Doh. But when you think of a giraffe, what do you think of? A long-neck animal, right? Did you not know God didn't name that animal? Adam did. Did you not know that Adam named the animals and the animals suit their characteristics suited them perfectly when Adam named them? That's how intelligent he was. He was in God's image and in God's likeness. And see, when they walked around in the garden, they just wasn't walking around, but they had a glow about them. There was a crown on them that's called the crown of glory and honor that was on them. And they was clothed in the glory of God. And they only wanted to do those things that please God. That's all they wanted to do. That's all they do. That's all that God put in them to do is just to choose Him, just walk with Him, just fellowship with Him, have relationship with Him, you know. And then all of a sudden, things begin to happen. Conversations begin to happen. How many know a lot of things happen before the action has ever taken place by conversation? That's why Jesus said, take heed to what you hear. Okay? All right. Let's read a little further. Then the eyes of both of them were open. Let's see. Let me back up. And it was a tree desire to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She said, she also gave to her husband with her. And I know that's another issue. Had he not listened to Eve? You know, we know that. Let's see what happened here, okay? The eyes of them both were open, and they what? They knew that they were what? Naked. Something has taken place. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Notice they were still able to distinguish the presence of God. And I know religion say, well, if you're a sinner, you can't hear from God. But how many know we can hear from God? God has got a way of speaking to us that no other human being can match. He knows exactly what to say to you to get you to thinking and to change your mind about things. He knows how to do that. And, you know, and I was told, you know, well, you know, God don't hear sinners' prayers. That's not biblical. That is what the Pharisees said to Jesus. They said, well, this man is a sinner. You know God hear not sinners, but how many know they wasn't talking about Jesus? They was talking about the man that Jesus was healing. And they were saying, you know, well, if this man is a sinner, God don't hear sinners. But how many know that God has got a way of relating to all humanity? God has got a way of getting across His message to us. Do you not realize when we were out there in the world, did you not realize God's mercy? I'm not saying not His grace, but His mercy kept us when we couldn't keep ourselves. How many can just witness there were times that you know that you should have got the bullet. You know you should have got the knife. You know you should have been in the wreck. But thanks be unto God that his mercy. He's a good God. And we have to understand that sometimes you got to go back and relearn some things, which that's what I'm doing. I'm going back and I'm relearning some things because when God was presented to me, he was presented to me as a God that was wanting to thumb me out every time I made a mistake. He was against me. He was not for me. But, you know, how many know those are lies that we've been told? Now, God ain't going to, he's not in agreement with sin, but he knows how to handle it. See, sin don't get God upset like it do us. He said, okay, I know what to do. I know what to do for it. Holy Spirit, go breathe on them a little bit. See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work in harmony. We know they're one. How many know they each have a position or an office or a ministry that God engages them in? See, and the Holy Spirit is what he's released into the earth. He's the agent now to bring us to God. And see, when people, it ain't how bad they are. You know, they can be the baddest person, but the Holy Spirit knows how to melt their heart. Now, if they refuse, how many know it's on them, right? He ain't going to beat you up. No, he ain't going to do that. Okay, well, let me move on. I'm getting ahead of myself here. What did I just say? His mercy. But listen to this. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? First question. Do you not know God knew where Adam was? But he was wanting Adam to know where he was. See, he was wanting Adam to say, hey, you know, I done messed up, God. But see, Adam didn't do that. He said, where are you at? And Adam said to him, listen what he said, where are you? Now, ain't it so good that they done messed up, but here come a loving God. You know, if that would have been some of us, see, I told you don't eat from that tree. Now you see what happened. Do you realize God never told them, he never pointed out what they had did, he asked them. Well, I told you, hey, we ate a bad tree. See what happened? Now look at you. Listen how God handles this. Then the Lord called to Adam, and he said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice. Notice what he said, I heard your voice. Now, he don't say what the voice was saying, but I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked. This is the first fear that you see here. Before, when they were in the garden, how many know there was no fear? But now that they have disobeyed God and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden they know they're naked. They now fear. Fear has come along. Listen to what he says. And I was afraid because I was naked. Now watch God how he does it. He says, and I hid myself. I hid myself. How many know sin will cause you to try to hide yourself? Not only that, it'll put fear, instead of having faith, it would cause fear to approach the God that you love so much. Now look at the setup here, okay? He goes on to say, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Okay, but you can't hide from God, right? See. And he said, Who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Look how God is just, I mean, he's just so awesome. He knows what's done happen. But he's setting Adam up. He's setting him up one step at a time. Now, where yet? I hid myself because I was, well, who told you you was naked? Now he goes on to say, listen what he's saying now. Who told you you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat of? You should not eat. Then the man said, now watch this. The woman whom you gave to be with me, when they partook of the tree, fear came. They were exposed. Now all of a sudden, he's fault finding. He's blaming. He's blaming. I mean, you know, hey, you had a child, you know, he get caught in the cookie jar and he go telling everybody else, except for sin, I got the cookie. How sin works, isn't it? I mean, it just want to blame everybody else. It don't want to take responsibility and just face up. But it want to say, nah, hadn't been for Glenn, I wouldn't have got heated up. I wouldn't have got upset. But, man, Glenn has got power if he can control me that way. You know, my grandson got me so upset till I lost it. I mean, I lost it. It's all right to tell it on myself, right? Yes. And God knows I was just angry because I want him to do better. I want him to achieve, but he just got so, and I was praying, and you know what the Holy Spirit said? He said, he has that much power that he can get you that upset. And I'm thinking, huh, okay. So, Lord, I'll go back and apologize. No, no, he didn't let me off. He just kept talking to me. Okay, John, so you gave him the power to make you upset. And I said, no, he just made me. No, well, why was you upset? Well, I want him to do better. No, why were you upset? See, he wasn't meeting my expectations. But I wasn't looking at him as God's creation. I wasn't looking at hurting him because I would get angry and lash out. I didn't see that part. But afterwards, I see it. So now how do I fix it? I humble myself and I talk to him. And I say, look, I am sorry. I ask you to forgive me for being angry and fussing at you and coming at you in the wrong way. That is not Christ-like. Now you say, that's okay. No, it ain't okay. Because see, we got to understand, just like Adam here is blaming the woman, he needed to take responsibility for what God told him. And so many times we don't take responsibility of what God's word have said to us. We think we can justify it because we got grace and we got mercy and we got the blood of Jesus. But no, God is looking for us to grow up and take responsibility for what? Our actions. That's free. It won't cost you anything. Well, be nice. Listen to what he said here. And he said, who told you your name? Then he moved on. And the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. But how many know Adam did not have to eat? Now, I know we love our wives and sometimes, you know, we just say, oh, whatever, okay, just don't, you know. But if you'd have came to the marriage thing yesterday, you would have heard this. I mean, Pastor Terry's doing such a great job with this. You know, I just want his, just, you know, when he taught that, and I just begin to go back and read it, but so much is in here, okay? But let's just move on from there, okay? You can come to the marriage workshop the next time, okay? All right, now listen to what he said here. And he said, the woman gave me. Okay. And the Lord God said to the woman, now watch this. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this? What? What is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, which is true, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, then he began to talk to the devil. But let me stop right there. I want you to understand what we're talking about. What is this you have done? Now, when God asked her that, well, we have to look at this and see. When he said, what is this you have done? Do you not realize what she did was she opened up something called emotions, shame, guilt. They lost their position. They lost the crown of glory and honor. They lost their relationship with God. They began to operate in shame and guilt, and their emotions was all out of whack. Why? Because they had partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You say, what does that have to do with me? Many times we are fighting the results of the fall because of the guilt and the shame, and some of us can't get over it. Let me fix my mic. Can't get over it. Because we feel like, well, you know, I'm no good. We have a poor self-esteem. We have this inferiority complex about us. You know, I never make anything. I can never achieve anything. You know, do you not know that all of that is a result of what she did? She caused all these things. Now, I don't want to blame it on her, but they did. But there's good news. And what we have to understand is what they lost in the garden, Jesus come to give it back. And you got to begin to look at things as being redeemable through him. That's why when he came, he said, I came to do what? To seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? Humanity was lost, but let's see, let's go a little further. They lost their kingdom rulership because they gave it over to Adam. I mean, they gave it over to Satan, and now they are no longer what? Ruling in the garden anymore. Now Satan has rulership because of their disobedience. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Remember when God created them, he said, I give you what? Dominion. Rule over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the things that creep on the earth. But when Jesus came, the Bible says in 1 John, it says that Jesus, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, what does that mean? In the original text, it says that Jesus' purpose was to undo everything that the devil had did in the garden. He's undoing it. So therefore, for you and I, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. When Jesus came walking the earth, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you realize that the word repent, what he was saying, begin to change the way you think. Think differently. Why? Because you cannot think. You cannot think differently and remain the same. But how many know we try to think the same way, expecting change, and what do we call that? I didn't say it, you did. We try to keep doing the same thing. Well, you know, See, there is a process to this. And what we have to understand, church, is this. Jesus have made the way. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is what? Finish. Do you not know that when he said that, he's saying that it is completed. It is filled up to be overflowing with the life of God now. Why? Because I came and did everything that the law had wanted us to do. Jesus came and fulfilled it all. He did not renege when things got hard. He kept on living for God. He kept with his purpose. But what we have to understand is when we see Jesus operating, do you realize that he was operating the way God intended it for Adam to operate? Because he gave Adam, he said, look, I'm putting this man in the garden. I want you to dress it. I want you to keep it. I want you to cultivate it. You know, I want you to go and bring forth children. I want you to go and just replenish the earth with your kind, Adam. And he replenished the earth, but it wasn't after God's image. It wasn't after the way God planned it. How many know? Because sin entered, we all are born in sin now. But God has made a way for you and I to come off and under the dominion of Satan. Let's go to Colossians for a second here. We have to understand that because of these things that happen, there is spiritual warfare that's going on. And see, things, you will not just automatically change. It just won't happen. Okay? What did I tell you? Colossians? Okay, Colossians, I want to begin reading at the 9th verse. He said, for this reason also, since the day I heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason I also, since the day I heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of what? His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Now, how many know we're not here to try to please one another, but we're here to please him. And when we please him, how many know we're automatically going to do what? Get along with other people or other parts of the family. But what we have to understand here is that, listen to what Paul is saying here, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, full pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, that increasing in the knowledge means what? That I'm growing, I'm advancing in the knowledge of God. Do you not realize that God have gave you everything that's pertaining to life and godliness? And what you got to understand is, it's not a matter of you getting it, it's a matter of you getting the knowledge of it and begin to operate in it. It's there, but you don't have knowledge of it. So knowledge, what it does to you, somebody said yesterday, knowledge is powerful. It is if you apply it in the right way. It's empowering you to live a victorious life. And Paul is saying that I want you to increase in the knowledge of his will, in the knowledge of him. Now, let's read on, okay? It says, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his what? Glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with what? Joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Say, I'm qualified. Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. What is the inheritance? Your inheritance is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's peace, it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. See, we need to be what? Partaking of these things, his righteousness, being in right standing with God. Amen. Causing God's character to be built in us. Begin to live out of that. See, and this is what God is saying. When God asked them, he said, what have you done here? You have messed up. You have did this. But guess what? God didn't tell them that. He just asked them. He said, what have you done? And what she did was, because of that fall, we are fighting every day to do what? Enter into the kingdom of God. See, that's why the word of God teaches us. It said, we enter the kingdom of God through what? Much tribulation. You said, but I thought we was in it. We begin to partake of it. That government began to govern us. We begin to accept, we begin to live by God's principles and through God's word, the word that Jesus taught us. We begin to live by what he taught us in the gospels and what the epistles teaches us. We begin to live by it. We begin to live out of it. We begin to experience the righteous. We begin to experience the joy. We begin to experience the peace. That's what it means that we're entering into it. Okay, and then listen what he says here. He goes on. He says, I give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what? Light. He has delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. And conveyed or transferred us into what? The kingdom of his son, of his love. The kingdom of his son, of his love. Now watch this. When you got born again, God translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. You want to see what that looks like? Can you help me for a minute, Glenn? I ain't going to beat you up. I know you. I ain't going to beat on him or nothing like that. Now, for Glenn to be conveyed into another kingdom, let's say this is the kingdom of God. We know it's not tangible, but he's entering into it. He's been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, right? Now, say his seat was the kingdom of darkness. Are you listening to me? So he's been transferred from his seat to here, right? So he's no longer in the kingdom of darkness, right? So he's been seated somewhere else. He's not seated there anymore. So he's no longer there. He's here. Now that he's here, he can't operate there anymore. He got to learn how to operate here. So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. So what is he going to do now? He's got to begin to seek God's way of doing things. Why? Because God is governing over here in this kingdom. Come on, somebody. You got to understand that we're no longer operating under the kingdom of darkness, but we're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is within us. And when we begin to operate in the kingdom, it don't exempt us from doing things, battling with things, emotional things, things that try to pull us back into the kingdom of darkness. But we must learn our rights and our privilege that we have this inheritance here. We must learn about our inheritance and begin to live out of our inheritance instead of trying to go back to the thing that we're used to. So when God told them, he said, what have you done? See, all this guilt and all this shame and all this, Jesus have nailed it to the cross. How many know he was an open shame for every one of us, and he nailed it to the cross for you and I so that we would have a right to be free to live in his kingdom and choose it on our own and not be a robot and be made to do it, but we choose to do it. Why? Because we love him. Amen. Thank you. So what is Paul saying here? That is no excuse anymore for us. We can't say, well, look what happened in the garden. Yes, we have those days that we're lonely. We have those days that we don't even feel like we're a born-again Christian. We have those days that seem like I can't even get a prayer out of it, just hit the top. But see, that's the way it seems. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And see, whether it feels good or not, I need to know. I need to know. Why? Because I can experience God to where I begin to know, even though I'm going through a bad time now, I know he's with me. Even though I'm facing things that I wished I wouldn't have to face in life, I know he's with me. The Bible said, if he be for me, who can be against me? If God is for us, church, we need to stay with him. How many know these things will pass? These things will change. Why? Because God is using them not to change things, but to change us. That our perspective will change and we'll begin to see things differently. We'll begin to say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It might look like everything is gone. Even Job's wife rose up, but you got to understand something. Job's wife was having it hard too. She done lost her kids. And how many know to a woman that's hurtful, that's painful. And sometimes we think, well, because we are Christians, you know, we don't have to go through that. Faith exempts us from that. But how many know that's not true? We face it, but we face it with a different perspective. We face it with a different attitude. We face it knowing that we understand that we have a hope in Him. We face it knowing that this is a part of life. How many know that many a times we've been told, because you are a Christian, you shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't act that way. You shouldn't cry like that. They're going to be with the Lord. But how many know we have feelings, but we don't need to operate by our feelings. And Job's wife had lost her children. Job didn't only lose children, she lost children. And people say, well, she's just a bad wife. How many know when you get frustrated, you know, you sometimes you just lose your conscience about God and everything else, and you let people know what's on your mind. And you know what that happens? What happens when that goes off? You're going to eat some humble bread. Yes, Lord, I go back and make it right. But my intentions wasn't to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's been a transference here. Even though that we are in Christ, we're not exempt from feeling things. But we have to learn that we can't allow those feelings to lead us and control us. God is the one that wants to do that. And as I was sharing, I got a little ahead of myself. See, because God put two trees there, He gave them the liberty to choose whichever one they wanted. He gave it to them. The tree of life was there. They could have chose the tree of life, but they was lied to. And you and I are being lied to when the devil tells us God is through with you. There ain't nothing good that God see in you. You will never make it. You will never be that woman or man or that child of God. You will never exceed. You will never be able to do anything for God. Look what you used to do. Look what you used to be. But how many know that's what I used to be? That's what I used to be. Every one of us got a story to tell about what we used to do, how we used to be. But what God Christianity is all about is transformation. Transformation. As long as you look at preaching as getting you excited, getting you to holler and hoop and holler and have a good time, all that's good. But if I never preach a word that changed you, I haven't really preached to you. A lady told me one time, she said, I'm so glad you, oh, Lord, you just all over my toes. You just all over me. I said, well, honey, I didn't do a good job. She said, huh? I said, I wasn't after your toes. I'm after your heart. See, we're not after the toes. We're not trying to just cut you up. We want you to be transformed. We want some transformation to take place. And transformation takes time. But it starts with learning the truth. It starts with learning the Word of God. It starts with you getting in your Bible and reading it, going back and studying it, about the Ikes that we heard about. That was such an awesome message, I tell you. I said, you ought to preach it again. Oh, he said the notes are back there. Okay. See, you got a good pastor. The notes is back there. See, it's about you learning. And see, we get excited because we know that we know that we know. It's not that I'm trying to shout it out. It's not that I'm trying to fake it out. But I know God is in control. And when we come together as corporate, we need to celebrate. We need to rejoice. We need to praise God. We need to lift our hands. We need to sing and bless the Lord. Why? Because that's a part of our worship. That's a part of our transformation. That's a part of our community. And when we begin to do those things, I mean, you know, God is pulling us closer together. But don't expel, don't expose, don't do away with the Word of God and say, well, you know, we've had a good time. Let's go home. No, remember the Word is what's going to save us. The Word is what's going to save us. Now, I want to say this. When I had Glenn up here, notice that he had to leave his position. And God has positioned you in His kingdom. And God has given you His Spirit so that you will know the things that are freely given to you. That's what Holy Spirit is doing. He's He said, she's showing me the Father's heart. He's showing me how to live. He's showing me how to overcome things. See, but many a times we think, well, you know, because I go through things, I'm a bad person. That's not true. That's a lie from the devil. See, Jesus have taken care of the sin problem. Whew. He's taken care of the sin problem. You know, when they be singing that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You know that? You know, I was singing that song and all of a sudden, how many know the Holy Spirit had just inspired you to sing? Because, you know, I don't have one song. You know. And I started singing that song and I said, wait a minute. I'm no longer a slave to sin. For I am a child of God. See, I'm not a slave anymore. It don't master me anymore. It don't in bondage me anymore. I'm free because I've chose Jesus. And the Bible said, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. You are free people today because of him. And I'm no longer a slave to sin, for I am a child of God. Now, some people say, well, you know, we just sinner saving grace, you know. But let me tell you something. The sin problem is taken care of. If you would be honest, I know I'm stepping out on a limb here, but I'm going to say it. If you would be honest, you only sin when you want to. The devil don't make you do it. No, there's something in that flesh that's enticing you. But you got to choose and say, no, I'm dying to that one. I know that ain't popular, but it's the truth. You only sin because you want to. You choose to. Somebody said it. It's a choice. You say, well, why do I keep going back to it? Now, let me tell you the key to that. You need to seek deliverance in that area. Because there are some things that are generational that you need to do, go through the process of inner healing to do away with that root. We deal with the fruit, but we got to deal with the root that's causing this thing to keep causing you to go back. That makes sense. And what you got to understand is Jesus have made a way for that to take place. We got freedom journey. We got healing rooms. See, I struggle with things. I'm tempted to do things. But you know, I got to die to those things. And if there's things in my life that's really a stronghold, I need to seek help with the brothers and get some help, freedom journey, whatever it is, you know, inner healing. Get through those generational things. You say, well, Jesus broke the generational curse. He did, but there are things sometimes that we struggle with that call our name. But the blood of Jesus is still got the power to cleanse us from sin. And you're not a robot. You get to choose. Do you realize, and I'm getting ready to close here. Uh-oh. He said close. Uh-oh. I'm serious. Do you not realize we are a product of our choosing? You value what you enjoy. And that's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and is not of the Father. It's of this world. And having to know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We live in a corrupt world, and there are forces that try to pull us back. That's why the Bible said that the kingdom of God suffers violent, but the violent take it by force. You got to be intentional about your walk with God. It ain't going to just happen. Please understand, it won't just happen. You ain't going to wake up one day and your mind going to be renewed. Now, if you read before you went to bed, you might wake up and it be renewed. But if you didn't read before you go to bed, you might wake up with that same thought that you went to bed with. But the Bible says what we behold, we become. And I'm telling you, the disappointments, the loneliness, the shame, the guilt, we need to cut it with the word of God. Why? Because God have not condemned us. Romans 8 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But see, that right there, if you look at that, that's in italics, and that was not the original writing of the Hebrew text. That was put in there, but really it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And then it said, whom the Spirit of life has set us free from the sin and death. That's the original text, but we read that, and it's in the Bible, but it was put in there. If you look at it, it's in italics. Pastor Terry has taught this many times, but you go back to the Hebrew text, and you'll see that it was not written in the original scrolls when it was written. It was written, you know, it was added in there by man. Okay, but what he's really saying is the Spirit of life has set me free from sin and death. See, the life-giving Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, that's causing me to do what? Be transformed. And that's what we got to get to, church, because if we just go through it as a religious thing, studying the Word of God, we stay intact, but there's no transformation, and we begin to become self-righteous instead of being God's righteousness. Amen? Say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to shame. I'm no longer a slave to guilt. I am a child of God. He loves me. And he cares for me. And he's with me. And he said he'll never leave me. Nor forsake me. Even when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? They comfort me. I mean, they know the comforter is in you. He's with you. And God is saying, even though what she did, Jesus come to answer the question, now it's finished. Now you are a new creature in Christ. See, he said in 2 Corinthians, he says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. You are a new species. If you have accepted Christ, you are a new species. But I want to give you the opportunity now. If you have not accepted Christ, if you haven't accepted him, you can today. He's here to meet you wherever you at in life. See, what we try to do sometimes, well, I gotta clean up a little bit. No, come just like you are. See, if you could do it, he wouldn't have to have come. But because he came means that we couldn't do it. Well, you know, I just need to be a little bit better. No, don't worry about that. Let him do that. Amen. Let him do that. Because, see, when I try to do it, I'm going to do it in a way, but I just keep messing up. I keep trying, and I say, it ain't working. But when he do it, he can bring change. He can bring transformation. So if you're here today and you do not know Christ, we want to invite you to get to know him. Amen? If that's you today, raise your hand. We'll pray with you and get you introduced to this loving God that we're talking about, okay? Nobody? Nobody. Okay, now, if you are born again saint, raise your hand. If you're born again, It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You are not left out. You have been, it's been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. And the mystery of the kingdom is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your inheritance, how to live out of this abundant life that Jesus has given us. Amen? Amen. Say amen. Amen. Ready now? Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, it's on now. It's on now. What's on? Kingdom is on. It's on. Amen? We love you today. We want you to be encouraged. If you're going through a hard time, cry out to God. He will deliver you out of all your trouble and your distress and bring you to a restful place. Father, we love you today, Lord. And God, we pray over your people, God, this community of believers, Father. And God, we know that your word declares, Father, that you wished above all that we will prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. And God, as you begin to transform us, Lord God, and begin to bring salvation to the soul, to where we begin to take on the identity of Christ, Father. Lord, we pray, God, that you'll bring us to that place, Lord, that we rest in you, Father. So, Lord, we bless your people today, Lord. And God, we thank you, Lord God, for your people. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in them and through them. And God, we know, Father, God, these are your people, Lord, and God, you are causing your word to come forth in them. And God, we pray, God, that they will be encouraged, they will be strengthened, and God, they will know that you are for them and not against them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.